This is Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. The show will start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Gabriel.
How are you doing today, Gabe, on this wonderful wet day?
I'm pumped, man. I want to go fight somebody right now.
Wait, why?
We went to a hockey game last night, and we saw a bunch of people fighting.
I still got
all the energy in me.
I'm missing half my teeth. Those dudes were crazy.
I was posting stories on Instagram. They were fighting. It was so fun.
Yeah, right when we left, we're like, let's leave. And those two dudes jumped up and just started duking each other. Mm-hmm. Guy was punching them right in the head over and over again. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, they were really getting into it. I didn't think they let them fight like that anymore. They were breaking them apart a lot, but they still let them get in there.
Well, pretty funny. That one guy grabbed his arm and tried to break his arm over the goal. On that metal bar on the goal, he was grabbing his arm and trying to break it. I was like, yes, this is amazing.
He wasn't even on the team. He was from the audience.
No. He was the ref. No.
The ref got
in. Yeah, that was too. Pretty funny. Yeah, Kristen's like, why aren't they picking up the sticks? And then I heard someone go, hit him with a stick. And I was like, oh, geez, what's going on? These kids are animals. It was all those.
Hockey game or WWE.
Those teenage kids that were by us, the orchestra, or it was like the middle school orchestra that was there that was playing. Those kids were hilarious. Oh my gosh. They were living their best life ever.
Yeah. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah. There was a puck that flew over. I don't think you were sitting there. I think you and Monique got up, but there was a puck that flew over and there's a girl sitting there and she had a corn sweatshirt on, the band Corn. And just clarifying for everybody, the band Korn. And she probably has no idea who Korn is because that's like the thing that kids do now. They just wear band stuff and don't know who they are, even though Korn's from Bakersfield. But
I go
anyway.
Up to all of them and I'm like, name 5 songs right now.
And they go, ugh, you're so old. And you go, vibe check. And then they go, you're not even doing it right. But anyway. She's over there eating a pretzel and like cheese, and she's just minding her own business. And the puck flies right, and it hits the seat right next to her. She never looked up, and then it hit, and she just looked like, what was that? And then none of the kids moved at all. And then someone went, get it. And then they all started tackling each other because it was all a bunch of boys. And then one of them rose victorious with the puck. With his bounty. And he was like, oh, it's pretty cool.
The best.
Yeah, it was the best. And now it's all cold and wet. It was like 85, and then now it's like 60.
Yeah, so it makes no sense.
Next week will be 90, so it's okay. We are doing the giveaway still because we're still in April, and it's all the way to the end of April, so make sure you get in on the giveaway, and you can follow all the instructions on our social media, on TikTok and on Instagram. At Indigenous_Tales. So just go ahead and check that out. It's a pin post on top. And just follow the instructions. Make sure you follow all the instructions so you can be entered in to win. You have up to 5 chances of winning. Or you can go to both TikTok and Instagram. And then you have 10 chances of winning. So go ahead and do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life hack. Giveaway hack.
Giveaway hacking. Hacky sack. That's what I used to do in high school. We would just hack a sack. I don't think that doesn't sound right. Anyway, so go ahead and check that out. And if you would please follow us on all your major podcasting platforms, that really helps us out. Just make sure you're subscribed or following all that stuff. It's free to do. And you get updated with a new show whenever our new show drops. So make sure you do that. And since you're there, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating or review. And, you know, if you can leave a comment, leave a positive comment. That also helps as well. And screenshot that, send it to info@bhillnetwork.com with your mailing address and your alias, and we'll shoot you out some free stickers as a thank you. And that's all for freezies. So it really helps us out. So please do that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you want to check out some of our merch, go to indigenoustales.threadless.com. Make sure you check that out. Sign up for the mailing list there as well. And they'll send you some coupons and stuff to get some pretty cool discounts. Then get a discount on your first purchase. And then if you go back to the website and then just click out of the website, they'll be like, hey, we saw you shopping. Here's another discount. Keep going back and forth. Get you, see, life hack. Just keep doing it and get some of that stuff as well. So go ahead and check that out. So I think that's all we got. So today's episode, we're going to do Turtle Island talk. That's what we're doing. We're going to talk about all the fun stuff like we did in the episode of We're Back, but we decided we're going to call it Turtle Island talk. So this is what we're going to do. It's our once a month episode of just, you know, giving you guys some news, some information, some updates, all that stuff. So hope you guys enjoy it.
So I'm going to start with this first story. A lot of our listeners might be familiar with it. Me and Joseph have gone over it a while. We were going to cover it a while back, but we wanted to wait to have more information brought out. And some more information has come about, which is, you'll see what kind of information this is. But a 16-year-old non-binary student in Oklahoma at the Oshawa High School, there was a debate going on online too, whether this person was Native or not, whether they were enrolled in the tribe or not. A lot of people were arguing about that, which kind of bugged me because they were kind of missing the whole point of what happened. But
yeah, see, it all goes back to what Jimmy was saying about how there's still people out there that are like, well, you're not Native enough, or are you Native enough for your identity?
Right.
And I mean, this is what we're talking about, is identity. So yeah, that does. That's very bothersome that they would even go about saying something like that.
Yeah. So the child's name was Nex Benedict. Their mom is an enrolled member of the Choctaw Nation, and her name is Sue Benedict. Now, like we said, the whole argument of are Native or not, I mean, we don't know what practices or beliefs or traditions that their mother instilled in them. So you can't really, I mean, who are we to judge, right? We don't, especially people who don't know these individuals, to question their indigeneity. But so, trigger warning too, at the top of this, we're going to talk about a few sensitive subjects. So if it's too much for you to handle, skip ahead a couple minutes, 5 minutes maybe, and then listen to the rest of the episode. So this incident with Nex was a physical altercation where three older girls at the school ganged up on Nex in the bathroom of the high school. And there has been reports of Nex saying that they've been bullied at the school multiple times. They've reported this to teachers and staff, and they didn't really pay attention to it. So it was an ongoing thing. And they identified as non-binary. And so what happened was Nex was at a water fountain filling up their water bottle, and they overheard three girls talking about them. So they kind of got tired of it, and they splashed water onto the girls. It escalated from there. Nex said that the three girls grabbed them by the feet, making them fall to the ground. Then they got on top of them, were hitting them in the head, punching them, scratching them. And they even said that they were hitting their head into the like the towel dispenser into the bathroom. So it was a pretty aggressive.
Oh, wow. That fight. Escalated real quickly. Yeah, that's insane.
Especially 3-on-1. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of what's going on now with these younger people, too. When you see all these fight videos, I'm like, man, I know I'm going to be sounding like an old head right now, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Like back when I was in school, if kids did come at you group, you called them out 1-on-1 and said, okay, well, you can't do this on your own. And it meant something. And now they don't want to do that. They're like, nah, we can't. No. You're right. We're just all going to jump you. And that's ridiculous. Like, gosh, come on.
So after the fight, a teacher heard all the commotion, came in, broke up the fight. But the interesting thing that has been said in the story over and over again is that the school, nobody in the school called for medical attention or called the police or really made it like an issue. Even though the girls that were beating up Nex walked out of the bathroom fine, Nex could barely walk, and the teacher had to help them walk to the principal's office. Like, they could barely stand from what I was reading.
Hmm.
And so like, I don't know the protocol in this kind of situation. I know Kristen's a teacher, so I don't know. She might know a lot more about this when it comes to fights. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but she's a teacher in grade school. in primary. So, I mean, primary school and junior high or high school, yeah, that's completely different. She's teaching second graders. They're going to throw sand at each other's face and then cry. And then that's going to be the end of it. Someone's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever taught above fifth grade. So I don't think she would ever know like what the thing, like I think it's the oldest grade was fifth grade. So a high school kid, I don't know. High school's wild.
Yeah, but you would think like if a student is hurt so bad that they can barely walk, they would call for medical attention.
You would assume, right? I mean, I remember when we were when I was in high school, if anything happened, there was a police on campus. But we also live in California where there's always cops everywhere. And some schools in California, you have metal detectors, right? So it's like it's a completely different beast from California to where they were in Oklahoma.
This is Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. So I don't know. It's Oklahoma. But you would assume that there would be a campus police officer, or campus security or something, especially nowadays with everything's going on with the violence in high schools.
So after they took next to the nurse's office, they were hanging out for a while. And so they didn't call for medical attention or anything like that, but they called the mom, Sue. So the mom arrives at the school, sees bruises all over Nex's face, scratches on their back of the head. And they were also told that Nex was suspended from school for 2 weeks. So that's like another like, wow, what the heck's going on?
Well, I mean, I don't really. Did it say the punishment for the other students or just that? Because I couldn't
find anything about that.
So in my high school, it was if you were in a fight, if you fought back, which is a dumb thing, because even if you're defending yourself and you're swinging back, you also get suspended. So it could be one of those that everybody gets suspended just because you were fighting. And next,
it could be
they could say, well, they were initiating it or something. But you would think that in a case of 3-on-1, they would use some kind of, I don't know, they would use their damn brain. They would
So on her own, Sue, she took Nex to be examined at a nearby hospital and called the Owosso Police Department around 3:30 p.m. So they decided to do it themselves because the school didn't do any of this.
Right.
So they got checked out of the hospital after being told that the doctors didn't find anything wrong, but they returned the next day because I believe it was their grandmother called 911 in a panic, saying that Nex is posturing and seeming like they're having a seizure and unable to breathe. And then while at the hospital again, they were interviewed by the police. And there's footage of the police, like the body cam of the police officer interviewing Nex in the bed. And Nex said in the video that they were in the bathroom with friends when they overheard comments about their group from another group of girls that Nex had known for several days beforehand because of antagonizing. Then they said that they poured water on the girls and they said, and I quote, "They came at me. They grabbed my hair. I grabbed onto them. I pushed one of them into a paper towel dispenser and then they got my legs out from under me and then I was on the ground." And then they were, Nex said they were beaten to where they were unconscious. So they couldn't really remember what happened after that. And then during the interview, the officer asked Nex why they had not reported the past bullying of the girls to the school. And Nex replied, "I did, and I also didn't see the point in it." And Nex told the officer that they had told their family, and Sue said in the week before the incident that Nex described the conduct as they're making comments, they're throwing stuff, they're calling us names. And the mother just told Nex to just try to ignore the girls. And then the officer indicated it was possible that the incident might be seen as mutual, and Nex might also face charges if Sue pursued charges against the three girls because they were saying that Nex poured the water, so technically they initiated the fight. So when the police officer told this to Sue, she declined and she didn't want to press charges because she was scared of what might happen.
This seems like cops don't want to do their paperwork. That's what it seems like. This seems like they're like, look, this is what's going to happen if you want to make me do a report. I don't really want to do a report right now. So go ahead and your kid over here is going to be locked up or you're going to be fined. Because a lot of it, even if it is a charge or something like that, if you're a minor, it's a fine. And the fine goes to the parents. So mm-hmm. now, I mean, I don't know what they're, you know, I'm not saying anything about their financial situation, but when you have kids, you have expenses. And I mean, I don't want to pay extra money that I don't have to pay because there was an issue and you don't know whose side they're going to take. Cause he said, she said, they said, everybody's talking. It's just one of those things that, you know, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
So it's kind of, it seemed like a fear thing that the police officers were instilling, like a fear tactic so that they don't have to do their job. That's just my opinion, but
it kind of did. Yeah. It does seem like that.
It's kind of a weird thing to be like, your kid's in the hospital and you're talking to a police officer. Their kids aren't in the hospital. Your kid's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then the cop's going to tell you, well, look, if you pursue this, this could happen. Now, I mean, it could just be me being a parent that sees it that way. If there's any people who listen who are law enforcement officers, maybe this is a thing they just have to say nowadays. I don't know. But to me, it just seems like kind of insensitive that you're going to treat someone who prospectively is a victim.
Yeah.
Right. Who seems like it. They're the one that's in the hospital.
And the officer also said that Nex didn't really appear to be injured aside from scrapes and bruises. And then he just told the mom, you know, if you do decide to press charges, here's my contact information, and then you can do so later if you want to. So then Nex was discharged later that day and reportedly went to sleep with a sore head and a really bad headache. Now, the following day, this was on February 8th. So this happened February 7th and then February 8th. They were preparing to travel with their mother for an appointment, and then Nex collapsed in the family's living room. Sue called 911 saying that Nex's eyes had rolled back and they were struggling to breathe. And then sadly, Nex had stopped breathing by the time the medical team arrived, and they were declared dead at the hospital that evening. Now, the police chief said there was no report of the incident that was made to the Owosso Police Department prior to the notification at the hospital. And then a search warrant dated February 9th resulted in the collection of 137 pictures from the school, two swabs of stains from the bathroom, as well as records and other documents related to the involved students. And then the next day on the 20th, they made a statement saying the school and staff and the students were being interviewed by the detectives.
I was smiling for a second because I thought you were going to say, and the police chief said there was no record of them talking to the police department. I was all, that son of a bitch. I was like, really, they're doing this?
I would have been surprised if that happened.
Oh my, that's where I thought you were going with this. I was like, oh no, don't tell me this is so, because it, you know, you could see it happening. But at least, so they gathered evidence and pictures, and where did all these pictures came from the school?
They had,
so they had evidence and they just didn't do anything, or they had like, cameras?
They had like cameras in the hallways and stuff, but clearly not in the bathrooms. So the only thing they saw was going in the bathroom and then coming out, walking to the nurse's office, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. And then on the 21st, the police department wrote on Facebook saying, while the investigation continues into the altercation, preliminary information from the medical examiner's offices is that a complete autopsy was performed, indicated that the deceased did not die as a result of trauma, and further comments on the cause of death are currently pending until toxicology results and other testing results are received. You know, everyone is in an uproar at this point, and they had vigils on the 23rd, the 25th, the 26th. They had vigils all over Oklahoma, and they had anti-bullying rallies and support for the Two-Spirit LGBTQ community. So I looked more into the school's history of bullying, too, and it seems that this isn't really an isolated incident. I saw a few videos of students who graduated last year and the year before, and they said they were bullied too for their gender identity and stuff. And they reported it to teachers and principals, and all they would get was just, just ignore them, or, you know, we'll look into it. And then nothing ever happened. So it doesn't really seem like the school takes it that serious.
No. And you think about the location too. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, say anything bad about different locations and stuff, but it is Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, in the South in general, it's really like not, it's a different part of their culture. Like, it's not really, like it's kind of, it's frowned upon and stuff. And I mean, I've heard people say this before, and I was going to say it, but then I watched myself. Like, a lot of times kids kids grow up and then they just leave, right? That's why California is like this. That's what, you know, New York, California.
Yeah.
You know, there's other different places that are more progressive and stuff. And you have people that are just like, you know, I can't wait to grow up and just leave because it's not for me. I mean, we live in Bakersfield and we have friends that, you know, they left and went to LA. And even, you know, because California is still kind of, or Bakersfield's kind of still good old boys kind of, you know, place. But it sucks because then you have to leave and you have to leave your families just so you can live the way you want to live. So that's, you know, that kind of sucks. And I know it's hard being kids right now because talking about just kids in general, you know, that kids can't really see past high school, right? Like it seems so much because it's so much of their life. But for all the people who are listening, you have younger people that are listening or whatever like that, like, dude, it gets better. Like your life is so much more than high school and,
and
all this other stuff. And
small moment in your life.
It's such a small moment. And it's just sad when you live in a place like this that it's so awful where, and I'm not saying Oklahoma in general, I'm talking about this specific, you know, school where there's incidences where kids are having to deal with that stuff. Like it's just awful. And it makes you just feel terrible. And it's just hard growing up like that. So I really, I mean, my heart goes out towards for next and all the other people that had to deal with this. It's just nonsense. And you think the schools would do better by now.
Yeah. And just this whole situation just is really, I mean, I know we sound like conspiracy theorists a lot because we're the stuff we talk about. But when you start connecting the dots, a lot of it does make sense. And we're like, okay, these things seem to happen over and over and over again. So then when another thing happens similar to it, we're like, well, why wouldn't we think it's like that other situation? We've seen it time and time again, because I mean, now even with this situation, the medical examiner is trying to say, well, there was a combined toxicity from two drugs in Nexus system. One was available over the counter and the other was prescription. And they're saying that, you know, because of Nexus bullying, that maybe it was something to do with self-harm and they OD'd or something like that. And then the actual final medical report, cause of death, was released. So it was released on March 27th, along with a full autopsy report by the Oklahoma medical examiner and a description of Nex's injuries and a reference to handwritten notes that the medical examiner deemed to be suggestive of self-harm. Even though, you know, the family is saying that their loved ones don't want it to be a quote-unquote like suicide ruling or to overshadow the other findings the medical examiner had, which they didn't really talk about, which was contusions, lacerations, and abrasions on Nex's head and neck. But they're kind of overlooking that and kind of pushing it toward a drug situation, which doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, and they don't know the situation of Nex or the family or anything like that. So they're saying that it's a suicide or potential suicide or when the family was getting ready to go on a trip, right? That's what you said.
Yeah, and this all – and it's – I mean, it's very fishy that it happened in a day's time too. It's like they get beat up on one day and then the next day – hospital, then the next day, you know, they fall down and stop breathing and then they're no longer with us anymore. It's like they're trying to say the fight isn't connected at all.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, and like Gabe said, is, you know, we sound like conspiracy theorists or something like that sometimes when we talk, but I mean, look at all the girls and young ladies who in Montana that coroner Terry Bullis was saying, oh well, you know, it was just exposure. They just died from exposure to the elements. And it's like a 16, 17-year-old girl doesn't just walk out and go, I'm done. And, and then faints. And then they, when they grew up in winters, they've had 16, 17 winters. And you're telling me that now all of a sudden they don't know how to survive in the winter when they're in the little town or the community? No, that's all baloney. That's bull crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when they rule stuff like this, you kind of wonder, like, are they trying to sweep something? Is it really the truth? Or it makes you question everything.
Yeah. And I mean, I just wanted to talk about it, bring light to the story. Like I said, we were going to talk about it when it happened because it was such a like, whoa, what the heck just happened? This kid, this young indigenous kid that had so much life ahead of him as a result of bullying, you know, had to go through this traumatic experience and then they pass away. And it just seems like a lot of it's getting brushed under the rug. And even the family has said, you know, they think the school needs to be held accountable for their negligence of not following protocol if they didn't. And the hospital just releasing necks and then all of a sudden, you know, they faint. It's like, did they overlook something? Who knows? So hopefully, I don't know.
And the students. I mean,
oh, and the students as well.
And the students that got into the fight. I mean, there should be something like, I mean, your kid is supposed to go to school so they can get an education. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the whole point of school, right? Is to get an education. Yeah. Now, I don't believe in the government educating my children, but that's something else. But you should be able to feel safe sending your kids to school. You shouldn't be at work and then all of a sudden you're realizing that something is going on or something. It's potential a hazard for your children to be at school. That's ridiculous. Right. And I think it is a responsibility of the school for the welfare of your children.
Yeah. Yeah. So our hearts go out to Nexus family. And, you know, I can't even imagine going through this because they were only 16. You and I both have 12-year-old daughters and, you know, children. So to go through something like that is just very hard. So
no, you can't even imagine it. It's so awful.
Hopefully, you know,
that's what I start. Like I'll listen to like other podcasts, true crime stuff. And it starts talking about little girls, mm-hmm. like 16, 17 or little boys. And I got a 10-year-old boy and I'm like, oh God, I can't listen to this right now. Yeah. I have to click off. I'm like, I don't want to even put those thoughts in my head because the world can be so evil sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Gabe said, heart goes out for Nex and their family. And I mean, stop with all this, you know, blood quantum stuff, please. Like when it comes to someone's death and something like that, like don't be one of those people, please. Like just respect the fact that they're a human life that's been taken from us.
Yeah. Or even I know we're kind of talking about it a lot, but it just, people were even arguing because they were saying, well, if they wouldn't have poured the water, this whole thing wouldn't happen. It's like, well, you can't really justify that escalating that much just by somebody splashing water on you. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's a lot of blame going around and I don't really appreciate it because the fact is that everyone's life is precious. You shouldn't be taken away at such a young age for anything. I mean, that's just
no.
My opinion, but oh man. Well, thanks for talking about that because we needed to talk about that.
Yeah. So what do you got for us now?
So what I'm going to talk about is we're going to go to our family up north, the Canadians. We're going to talk about some Canadians. And, you know, Canada is such an awesome place. I've been there a few times. Plan to go back.
Cool.
Pretty soon. Might take Kristen up to
tomorrow.
Well, it's... I would. I mean, like, I might take her up to, I know Canadians are probably like, shut up, don't say this. Uh-oh. But Newfoundland.
Oh, that's where the puffins
are. They were the last. Yeah. But they don't really, like, they were the last ones, I think, to join Canada. Because they're the island offside, mm-hmm. outside in the north east of Canada. And Newfoundlanders are like, they're a different type of people. But we were in St. John's. That place is amazing. I know Kristen's been to Calgary and, you know, just love Canada.
Cool.
But this is not going to be a good story from Canada. So let's talk.
Oh, about no.
So the headline goes, Indigenous fishermen left to walk shoeless after officers seize boots.
Oh, man, don't take my boots.
You're just going to take a man's boots? Are you freaking kidding me, dude? Like, what the heck is wrong with you, Canada? Like, do better. And then, of course, you know, my favorite person, Justin Trudeau. this is a joke. I hate that guy, but I hate most of them. So Justin Trudeau says allegations extremely troubling after officers arrest First Nations men have confiscated their boots and phones. So let's get into this story. Oh, wow. So two First Nations fishermen have said that they were forced to walk shoeless for hours in the dark and cold after Canadian federal officers seized their boots and phones. Now, this is a very recent story. I think this story I'm reading is published in March. So it is still pretty cold up there in Canada.
Yeah.
And these men were forced to walk shoeless in the dark in Canada, also without phones. So these two men, they're members of the First Nation. They were arrested by federal fishery officers on the night of the 26th of March. So this just happened. This is fairly recent. Mm-hmm. While fishing for elvers in a river in southwest Nova Scotia. Those are these little glass eels. They're these little tiny glass eels. and they actually go for quite some money. Like they're pretty expensive where they sell them. Mm-hmm. The season to harvest glass eels is pretty brief. So it begins in March and it runs through May. These glass eels are coveted by China and Japan, where they are grown on farms and harvested for food. The translucent fish command a steep price, with buyers paying up to $5,000 a kilo last year.
Wow. They look weird. I just looked at them. They look like candy, like little jelly candy.
Oh, man, I would tear those up. I would eat them so good. So a kilo, for the Americans out there, a kilo is 2.2 pounds.
Kilogram.
Oh, geez, you're really going to do this from the Greek.
Kilometer.
I thought you were going to. No, it's not. I thought you were going to go do that thing that you normally do. So anyway, so that's so for 2.2 pounds, $5,000. So, I mean, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's not bad.
However, Canadians Endangered Wildlife Committee designated the species as threatened more than a decade ago, and the federal government has put limits on the harvest, right? They do that everywhere, trying to bring back the fish and stuff like that. The total allowance catch for 2023 was 9,960 kilos, and it's been unchanged over the last 18 years. Recently, however, the federal government granted indigenous communities a growing share of the commercial quota, an industry worth $36 million or 50 million Canadian. Last year's nations were allowed 14% of the commercial harvest. But this year, Canadian Fishery Ministry refused to open the spring fishery for these glass eels amid rising violence and poaching. So officers have arrested nearly 40 people since early March and seized vehicles, nets, weapons. In one case, officers were struck by a truck fleeing an inspection. However, Indigenous nations have grown increasingly frustrated that their treaty rights have not been recognized by the federal government because, you know, they love to not go with treaties. You know, there's like, hey, you got a treaty? Nah.
Yeah, that's their.
We're going to light that sucker on fire.
That's their jam right there.
Yep. Does it benefit us? You know what? These are endangered. You signed a paper. We didn't know what we were signing, or you didn't know what you were signing. Or we're just not going to acknowledge it at all. You know, that's their jam. U.S. and Canadian government. So you can see where the indigenous community, they're just kind of pissed off, right?
Yeah.
Canadian Supreme Court has previously ruled that indigenous people have a right to harvest from the land and water in order to obtain a moderate livelihood and a connection to their indigeneity, a term the federal government repeatedly failed to define over the years, moderate livelihood, and it leads to tense standoffs. So they said, oh, as long as you can maintain a moderate livelihood, and everyone says, okay, well, what's a moderate livelihood? Because you're the one who's saying it, and the government says,
what's moderate?
Ew, I didn't think you were going to ask that question. Oh, this is awkward.
1 pound.
Next. they don't want it. They don't want to define it. The government doesn't want to define it, right? So this is ridiculous. So the two men asserted their claim that they had a treaty right to harvest the glass eels, which they do.
Yeah.
Well, they were still arrested. Officers confiscated their fishing waders along with their boots. Because I don't know about you, anybody who goes fishing. So when you have your waders, sometimes you have the waders that your boots latch onto, but sometimes your waders, well, I guess they're bibs. So waders aren't bibs, but waders can look like bibs. So if you're on a fishing boat, they have the bibs that go over and your boots go under, but waders are different than that. Waders, they connect with the boots in them.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So it's like a halfway onesie with like two straps, like what are they called? Gramps used to wear them all the time.
Suspenders. Yeah.
Like they go over. Yeah. So they would be like that, but it's all like a one piece. So they confiscated their waders because I guess Canada's like the United States and that's considered fishing gear. So they could confiscate all your fishing gear. So they took their waders.
That's weird.
Not giving a damn that that's what they were wearing and now they don't have boots. Yeah. But they also confiscated their cell phones, which the police said, well, that's a standard practice when investigating poaching. One of the men told CBC News that he was in so much pain from the handcuffs, he agreed to be dropped off at a gas station shortly after midnight. He said, I told the officer, like, man, this is outrageous. You're leaving me with no shoes? He said, you know the consequences. But I said, I know the consequences, but this is an outrage on human rights. And he was like, yeah, sounds like your guys' problem. And then he took off.
Wow.
Which I don't understand. If you're getting arrested, shouldn't you go to jail?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Just drop you off at a gas station. Just leave me. Why did just leave me where I was at and leave all my stuff if you were going to do that?
Go fishing all the time. I've been on boats and all kinds of stuff, and people don't have fishing license. Well, if you don't have a fishing license, even though you're in you're, it doesn't matter. California doesn't recognize shit, right? So if you don't have a fishing license, they'll give you a discount on a fishing license, but you still have to have that piece of paper that says you have a license, yeah. Right? If you don't have it, you're considered a poacher.
Right.
So what they do is they confiscate your catch, then they confiscate all your gear. Well, all you fishermen know out there, that gear's expensive, especially if you have some good gear. So you're looking at like $500 or $600. And then plus they take your, they give you a fine. Mm-hmm. So now you got to pay the poaching fine. So they have all that information, but they don't arrest you for it.
Yeah.
So I guess in Canada, the practice is to arrest
you. But why the phone too? So it's protocol. You know that we'll take your phone too. Is your phone fishing gear?
Unless this is a big thing with these glass eels, because they said it's big on poaching. Maybe they're trying to find like they think they're the NYPD or like the FBI or like we're going to do the bust. We got to find the main poacher. No, these guys are.
Well, let me go through your app store. Candy Crush. Let's see. Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Nope. Just like I saw. They all play fun with fiends.
I mean,
I don't get
especially it. In this day and age, your phone is like your lifeline, especially when you're out fishing and stuff. That's your GPS. You call somebody if you need help. So that's, I don't know. It seems kind of weird.
That is kind of strange. So the men were told to leave the gas station. And so they walked on the side of the road in search of a motel. Mm-hmm. And somehow they were able to find duct tape and plastic bags. So I don't know if the officer gave them that or if they just, the gas station gave them some duct tape and some plastic bags. So their feet are wrapped in duct tape and plastic bags, and it has to be freezing.
Yeah.
And one of the men says, when we were walking, there are times I'm like, man, if we stop, we're going to die because our feet were just soaked. So now this is insane. They said an ambulance driver stopped to let them use his phone, but refused to pick them up. The pair eventually convinced a truck driver to bring them to the town of Shelburne. Neither of the men have been formally charged, and the chief of Millbrook First Nations called the incident appalling and inhumane and said DFO should terminate the officers involved. He goes on to say, we need a complete investigation to find out exactly what happened. And then, of course, Trudeau said, obviously, it is important that there be enforcement of illegal fishing laws, but there are processes and procedures that need to be followed when someone is apprehended.
Yeah, that's like common sense. It's complete abuse of power.
Police are there to enforce the laws. I understand that.
Yeah.
100%. But they're also there to make sure that you're safe. And you can't, just like in the U.S., you see people getting choked out by the cops. And a lot of people love that. And it's really funny to me because I have there's some guys that work in the oil fields with me, and they're like, yeah, that guy, he was a criminal. He got choked out. That's what he deserved. And I'm like, didn't you say you used to smoke crack? And they're like, oh yeah. A lot of time. I'm like, dude, the guy stole a TV. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, now you're cool. Like, that's cool. Like, now you're like, you got a job. You can't smoke crack because you're an operator and you're out there and the lease won't let you. But like, you were doing just as many illegal things. The difference is you didn't get caught and it was a different time. Right. Yeah. Oh, you're an old guy. And back then they didn't give a damn about you. But now this other guy, he's in the wrong place. Yeah. And he also shouldn't be stealing. I get that. He shouldn't be, but he also shouldn't die for a TV.
No.
I mean, that's, come on, guys. So I get it. Some people say stuff like that because police, they're poaching. Well, were they, or were they, their rights were being violated because they're allowed to get these glass eels. So I just thought that was something that also need to bring attention to, because we need to also remember that the government sucks and the government can't do anything right. So I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
and these poor men, I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, we're California people. So like we said before, 65 is cold, man. Like it's, yeah.
And then to be barefoot and have to like make makeshift shoes with duct tape. That's horrible.
Oh, and that had to be like, I mean, you're thinking it had to be freezing.
Yeah.
2 degrees, negative maybe.
I mean, just to be treated like that, like they just robbed a bank or something.
Yeah. What a dick move too. Like, you gotta have, like, you think your cojones are that big? Like, you need to show that you're like, oh, I'll show you guys. Get out of here with no shoes on. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Really? That's not your job. Mm. Your job is to enforce. And this is like fish and game.
Yeah.
You're not even like a these aren't like the mounted police or anything like that. This is just like the fish and game guys. The game
warden. He's got to prove himself somehow, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. He's all, they said, I'm not a real officer. I'll show them. Probably went home and committed another crime.
Oh, God,
that's like those police officers that like beat their wives. And then they're like, I got to keep up the law. It's like, you're beating your wife. Or those prison guards who beat inmates. And it's like, you're breaking the law right now. But you're mad at them because they also broke the law.
Yeah, it's a...
I don't see... It's like that picture where it says, corporate wants us to see the differences. And it's like, it's the same picture from The Office. The
meme. Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's what I had.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's... I mean, thank you for talking about that. People need to know what's going on in Canada with all those fishing laws.
Yeah, I mean, these are rights that Indigenous people have. And this goes all the way back to the treaties that don't ever get followed through with. And the whole plan that Trudeau had, this is why I hate Trudeau, by the way. If you didn't listen to the episode that we talked about with the whole, like, we got a 10-point plan. It sounded like Michael Scott. We got a 10-point plan. The first plan, we're going to identify 20 steps to get. It was like, you're just talking so out
every
your
day
ass,
we get a point.
Done anything.
And then we...
Every day.
And then we win.
That's what it sounded like. It sounded like Michael Scott. And that's a TV show. But this is the guy who's running another country. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, and he's going to chime in. I get it. It sounds good to say that. But how about we make sure that people are doing the right thing to begin with and are allowing our people to do what they're supposedly given?
Yeah.
Because you took it and then you're giving it back and you're going, oh, see, we gave you something. That's good boy. Good boy.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
So back in March, we had the Oscars. Everyone loves the Oscars.
Yeah, he's from The Office, too.
Yeah, he is. He's one of my favorite characters.
Gosh, he is. I think he is like a low-key, awesome character. I don't think he gets enough credit from The Office, but no, he is, oh my gosh, so good on The Office.
I just love him as an actor, too.
Oh, I love him as an actor, too. Yeah, he's just, everything is in. I'm like, oh. There he is. So good. And his name is Oscar. So,
yeah.
His real name.
Yeah, that's funny. So, this Oscars was particularly special because Scott George led a powerful performance with the Osage Tribe singers of A Song for My People, his nominated song for the film Killers of the Flower Moon, which has been getting a lot of attention. Lily Gladstone has been killing it with her.
Crushing it.
Yeah, with all the stuff that she's been doing. So that's just amazing. So they played a scene from the film, and it introduced a performance leading into a wide shot of a large drum that had 9 tribal musicians banging on it while 19 singers and dancers surrounded the drum in a circle. I wish I would have been there. Not just because like, oh, I want to go to the Oscars just to see this and just to see all the people's face. Cause I'm pretty sure like 90% of the people in that room has never seen anything like that.
Oh, so no.
Just, and it's like, it feels like history being made.
Well, you know, it's kind of like what we talked about, with Jimmy, when we talked to him about how, you know, people think of, what did he say? He said, we're not monolith, right? We're not gone. Like, we're still here, mm-hmm. but the rest of the world kind of doesn't see it. So when you see shirts, like I think, I don't know if you posted, it might've been you, or maybe it was on our Instagram, posted a shirt that said, or a picture said, we're still here. And someone's like, well, what does that mean? Or, I think it was on your page or something. Does that ring a bell or something?
Kinda.
I don't know. But what it means is like, well, yeah, like you think that we're an extinct culture and they tried to, but we're still here. So when you see something like that, it's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you get incredible. To see like you get to see the culture that was taken away by the government come back. Mm-hmm. And something like this, what was it, in the, in, not until the 70s or 80s?
70s.
It was like the late 70s. Was illegal. No, it was illegal. So 40 something years ago, this was illegal to do. And now it's on, you know, nationally broadcasted. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the stage was lit with a red backdrop and a giant glowing sun in the center of it that all the musicians were gathered in front of. Scorsese, who directed the film Killers of the Flower Moon, and the rest of the crowd gave the short but impactful performance a rousing standing ovation, matching the celebratory nature of the nominated song. So George, the first Native American to land an Oscar nominated for Best Original Song, told Billboard in an interview published last month that the biggest challenge of Flower Moon process was submitting the song for an Oscar. He said, "None of our music is written down. It's all held on by our memory. But one of the Oscar submission requirements was that it would be in a written form. So that's what made it difficult. And I just happened to know a person that took that on several years back as part of his education. And so he used that recorder that you got to take home to elementary school and find all the notes and write it all out. Within 3 to 4 days, he had finished it and we got it submitted just in time." So that's incredible because, yeah, they have like a rule where you have to submit the written song to be nominated. And he's like, "Well, I don't have that because this has all been passed down. It's all oral history and oral tradition. A lot of the stuff that was written down was lost. Like way back when we talked about, I think it was the Bridgewater Triangle, when you talked about like King Philip's War and all that stuff, they had the wampum belt.
Yes.
That had all their history written on it.
Their entire history.
That's completely lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the drummers and singer Van Big Horse said, "It's simple but powerful. He's part of the group that sang the song. Telling our Osage people to stand up and be recognized. We want people to know that we're alive and well. We're thriving, and to hold your head up and be proud of who you are. Sharing Osage culture with the world is important to Big Horse and Chief Jeffrey Standing Bear. They want to share this fame with the tribe's ancestors. George's song is going up against some big names in the Hollywood music scene, but Big Horse knows that they have something special." He says, "Here we are with just our drum and drumsticks and our voice. That's all we have. And to me, that's what makes it unique." And like, yeah, like you said, it's only been around like 46 years that it was illegal for this to even be possible. You know, gathering like this, performing songs because of the American Indian Religious Freedom Act in 1978.
I was right. See, I said that. I'm glad you have the information. I was like, it wasn't, I mean, I knew I had it. I was going to say 79, it's just really, but I was off by 1 year, but it's okay.
You were close.
That was.
But it's just really exciting because we're seeing this explosion of indigenous representation and, you know, freedom of practices of our ways and like singing songs and even doing this podcast, telling stories and like that. If it was during that time, there would be no way we'd be able to do this. Oh, no. We'd have to be like on a ship somewhere doing pirate radio, hiding from the government.
Oh, yeah. This is us.
But that's just incredible. Like, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But on my own terms.
But like, who was it? Dale Gribble, how he has just this little satellite and only goes to like a 2-block radius.
Yeah. We would have no audience.
And he thinks he's doing this awesome thing because he's anti-government. Mm-hmm. Everything he said was real. Looking up facts.
But yeah, it's just so incredible that having that Osage song and performance being done in front of that many people on a platform like the Oscars, where hundreds of thousands of people tune in. And are like, "Whoa, this is amazing. We've never seen this before, heard it before."
It's it's so cool. Like history. When you listen to, like he said, their voices and a drum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And they're going up against like orchestras of music.
But you can, it hits different. Like it sounds different. Like you can't, like just the voices with all their individual different tones come together. Mm-hmm. And then the beat of the drum, like it sounds like there's more than that. It sounds like this, if mm-hmm. like, well, I don't know if it's just me or if it's us or whatever, but the feeling, it feels like something greater, like something bigger.
Yeah.
Than just a drum and the voices. So it's a beautiful thing. I'm mm-hmm. glad it happened. So I'm going to end on a pretty cool thing in the beautiful state of California. You know,
hey, I've been there.
Me too. this is a really awesome thing. So this is in East Sacramento. Sacramento Ooh. Is, of course, the capital of California. And in East Sacramento.
Chi-town.
Oh, there we go. Uh-huh. So we're just going to sing a Tupac song, or what are we doing?
No, it's a Chi-town.
Yeah.
The Windy City.
Sacktown.
Sacktown.
Yeah, not Chi-town. I thought you said Sacktown. You said Chi-town. Yeah, they have no. really good pizza there. Really good fish taco pizza. Man, food's so good. But anyway, so there's this middle school, the name of Sutter Middle School in East Sacramento. Well, they decided to change the name to Miwok Middle School, and they decided to create this awesome thing, and they unveiled it over spring break. So they had this big ceremony and stuff, and it is a 100-foot-wide mural
cool.
on the outside of the school gym, and this is an amazing mural. And in June 2023, they decided to rename the school. It was voted on. They also changed the names of two other schools as part of a process to remove the names of individuals who engaged in, perpetuated, or condoned racism, oppression, colonization, or exclusion of others from its facilities, according to a district's news release. So this school was named by somebody who was not a great person, so they decided to rename it with a positive name. The mural was painted on the side of one of the school's buildings by 14 Native teenagers from Sacramento and Yolo counties who worked with two cool. experienced muralists over a week. So they did this in a week. And let me tell you,
wow,
this artwork, I've said it multiple times. Gabe and Mike, they got the artistic ability. I can't draw a circle. I don't know how it works. I don't know how to do it. My hand doesn't do any of that stuff. Analytically, my brain is amazing. But other than that, I cannot do it. So when I see pictures like this and these, this amazing mural that these kids help paint, it is amazing. It's mind blowing. Chairman Jesus Tarongo says it's one of the days where the community can sit back and smile. It's a reminder to the greater world that we are amongst you every single day. We've always been here, just like what we just talked about. It's a 30-foot tall mural, mm-hmm. and it depicts scenes and elements of Miwok
wow.
and Nisenan tribal life, including native dancers, oak trees. The school's new mascot is the Mighty Oaks, a Miwok woman, and forest animals. The wall, it previously had it was embossed with the school's former mascot, the Miners. And now on part of it, it also has mm-hmm. a huge red handprint, which is included to raise awareness on the national crisis of MMIW. During the unveiling, members of the community in attendance were invited to add handprints to the mural as well. So there's this giant MMIW hand. It's a giant red hand. And then what you would do is put on a glove and then dip your hand in a red paint. So it's like it's a newer paint, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to look different. It's still going to keep the same color, but it's going to have this red hand. And then you were able to put your handprint inside of the hand as well, just to show
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks incredible. It's a giant. Yes. It's like the whole building. It's
the entire side, 30 foot by 100 foot. That sounded weird. 30 feet by 100 feet. There we
wow.
go.
Wow.
Now, there's an organization called the Native Dads Network. They are a community-based group offering support to fathers, mothers, and their families. Their approach is a culturally rich model that inspires, motivates, and strengthens families and their communities. So this is an awesome organization. They do all these things with murals and all kinds of helping family communities and all this amazing stuff. So they were also involved in this. They joined with the artist Shane Grammer's Hope Through Art Foundation and SCUSD to create the mural at the school. They figured out how to do this amazing thing. So there's pictures of Shane Grammer in front of the mural. there's all kinds of amazing stuff. There's a bunch of kids that are involved in it, and you can see picture. There's one picture that's really cute. It's this little girl, Iris Willis. She reaches for her mother, a tribal citizen, during the unveiling of the mural outside the gym at Miwok Middle School. And you can see these people. They're very, I mean, it's a very proud moment, and you can see the smiles on everyone's face. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a beautiful, amazing thing that they did. So that's pretty cool too. So I just wanted to give a shout out to East,
yeah,
Chi-Town, right? Oh, you said no, East Sacramento Middle School, Miwok Middle School. You guys did it, and that's a beautiful mural. And I wanted to say murinal. Oh, you didn't watch it. Never mind. Murinal. Parks and Rec. Yeah, you haven't watched it yet.
I still haven't murinal. Watched it.
And they go, murinal. Why don't you take that to the murinal? He misspoke. It was a funny joke. Okay, that's awkward now.
Well, that's just incredible, though, that they turned something so negative into something incredibly positive and beautiful.
See, and there's another thing that I think that should be, this is just my opinion, and I think I've said it before on the show, where I don't think they should, I think they should also have a plaque with the name on the plaque that said this is what the school was named. And I think they
just
should
to show like what it used.
Yes, I think they should. They should acknowledge. Yeah, I think they should acknowledge the past. Like, look, we did this. This person was not a good person, and because of that, we did this. I don't know if they've done that or not. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying that that's how. That's my opinion. I think there should always be the you don't want to erase the past. So I want you to have the past right there and say, there's a plaque or something that says, this is what it was. And this is our history of our school. So everyone could read it and go, oh, wow, that's great. Like, that's a cool thing. Cause if me and you pulled up and didn't know the article and just saw it, would you be like, oh, this is dope. Look, this school's named, you know, Miwok Middle School. And that's a really cool thing, but we wouldn't know the history of it. So I think you should always do that. Even if it's like there was a monument that was awful, like those, Confederate soldiers or something like that, like how they were not no, put something there to say this is where this is or was. It's gone now. It's over at a museum, so we could go, that was bad, but we're going to acknowledge that was bad, just so everyone remembers. Don't do that again. That was bad.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely don't want to erase history or act like it never happened, because then the conversation never happens and then we don't learn from it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ending on a positive note. That was amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? So we hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Yeah. That's our Turtle Island Talk 2. I'm going to rename the other one. We're Back / Turtle Island Talk 1. So that's your fault.
Hey, and you all voted for the name. Yeah, so
that's your fault. You did this.
Like 98%. 98% of the votes said yes.
It's like what DJ Turtle Island. It's like Talk. When DJ Jolly said to me when I was on that cruise, he said, if you don't have fun, it's your fault. And he said, you booked the cruise. So if you don't have fun, it's your fault. You did this to yourself. So you did this to yourself. So it's your fault.
Hey, I like
that. Hashtag DJ Jolly. Yeah. His last name was actually Jolly. That's what was actually cool.
Well, you got to live up to your name, I guess.
Yeah, that's what he said. Someone goes, is your name actually Jolly? And he goes, why would I change it? And everyone's like, I was all, man, he's facts. He's spitting straight facts right now.
Yeah.
And he was Jolly. So it was pretty cool. So, yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed that episode, and, you know, there'll be more, but we're going to get into some history next week, so stay tuned. We're getting into the nitty-gritty, and you're going to hear a bunch of stuff that you might not have heard before, and we're going to talk a lot of stuff about the government. You know, we're going to get into our old-school ways of speaking. And sit back and relax, because it's going to get wild and you're going to need a break after that, because you're going to be very pissed off. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to give you this information.
Cool. I can't wait.
Yes. So, you know, just do all the stuff on top of the show. I'm done saying all that stuff. I don't want to say it anymore.
Yeah. I think one's enough. Yeah.
Just listen to the top of the show and then get on the giveaway. Make sure you get on the giveaway too. I'll say that because. Get in on the giveaway because you want to win. You definitely want to win. You get some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And we don't know. Like, you get the hoodie and you might be like, oh, well, I live in, like, you know, Texas and it's going to be hot. The world's burning and then it's freezing. So who knows? Just wear the damn hoodie. You might go to an ice hockey place like we went to and it was 80 something degrees. And I went in there and I said, dang, I messed up. I have flops and shorts on. I knew I messed up immediately.
Mm-hmm.
but I wasn't going to spend $100+ on a stupid jersey.
No, I almost bought one.
Ridiculous.
That's way too much.
Way too much money. So hope you guys enjoyed that. So until next time, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Gabriel.
You'll be remembered by the tracks you leave.
And remain close to the Great Spirit.
And get all the eels you can. Tell that damn Canadian government. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's your right.
They look good. I want to eat them.
I put them on toast. I don't know why on toast. But a lot of people eat like sardines on crackers. I don't know why.
I've seen that.
Ron said that. He said you put it on crackers because when you bite it, you can't feel their bones crunch. You just think it's crackers. But I said, nah, just slam them in one at a time, sardines. I'll eat like three cans of
them. Yeah, just do that.
Gosh, so good. In mustard. All right. Bye. Mustard's the best.
If you're not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on